I don't think this needs to be super long. I mean, I say it every week, but
And it
I just
ends up
don't
being an hour and 45 minutes.
Every single time, no matter what we do. So, no, I think keeping it at a tidy hour and 45 minutes would be perfect.
What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about football.
Yeah, I think Pixar movies.
Wait, so like European football or?
No, not football. American football. The football that Jeff Brom is awfully good at coaching. Hello and welcome to a Jay Money-less Handsome Hour. An unusual time of the week to record, but we're excited. We're looking forward to the Oak and Bucket game coming off the big win versus Iowa. I'm your host, Boiler Dowd. I'm here, of course, with my pals, Anish.
Hello.
And Michael.
I'm just happy that we were upgraded to pals.
This is new.
You know, and I want to say it's like the podcast might be a little less handsome with Jay Money, but listen, you're very handsome, brother. Oh, Dad, you're hard on yourself. You're a little too hard on yourself sometimes.
Thank you.
Well, I've got a picture of Dad on my phone that would make the ladies sweat.
here's the thing. I mean, like Jay wakes up like what you guys see. You know, that's just it. For me, takes a long time to get
right. I can tell. Yeah. It's working.
It's working. Whatever it is.
It's working
lots
for
of
you.
Base man. And the foundation. I don't even know any of the makeup terminology that Jay does. When you work in Midtown, you have to put on a little bit of makeup, I think.
You have to put your face on. You're right. When you're a president of a multi-billion dollar corporation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like it is what it is.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, I'm sorry for doing this, but I admitted that we were all wrong publicly. to kick off the post game.
I wasn't even wrong. Like I think it would shortchange it. To tell it, say that I was
the most wrong, by the way. I mean, by far.
But I feel like I was the most wrong. I
you
feel like
numerically, maybe, but the entire season, I was basically, Dowd was actually saying how, like, you know, they're not the best. Iowa's not got the best offense, and, like, you know, Purdue's defense is really good, and Nick Holt is really good, and all of this. And, like, there's a chance against Iowa. The entire season, I was convincing you guys that there is no way, maybe you and Jay Money, that there's no way that Purdue stood a chance against them.
I think you're being unfairly fair to me because I really looked ahead with Iowa. As soon as the sun goes down there, it's like they all turn to Pro Bowlers or Hall of Famers, and that's what I was worried about. Because if you notice, the third quarter was still under daylight. Towards the end of the third quarter, it started hitting dusk. I was like, uh-oh, it's going to be cold and dark soon.
So I wear vampires is what you're saying.
That's pretty much what I'm getting.
Okay.
At. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've uncovered a big mystery in the universe.
The cosmos. But,
yeah. So we were all incorrect on the prediction, but the really thing that's great, and this is what I was trying to say, I don't think I really did a good job pointing at this, but we really, as a group, all of our what ifs and scenarios of what it would take for Purdue to win were pretty darn smart. We did a really good job looking ahead at that. And I think that actually says a lot about how much football we watch and, probably too much.
How much
ignore
our families,
yes,
spouses,
yep.
You know, our friends, our loved ones. Mm-hmm, it's just all unhealthy. It's all for this. Yeah. Well, I mean, that has nothing to do with football, but yeah. I mean, like, and so when I went on the Go Iowa Awesome podcast, which they are lovely, I really enjoy them.
The funny gang out of Iowa. I mean, like, it's weird. I think it's the funniest blogger base. Period.
I at least those guys are very.
Cool. They're all that way. The old Black Hearts Gold Pants guys. Yeah, any of those?
That's who Go Iowa Awesome. So they left.
Freaking great.
Yeah, they left SB Nation.
I love their logo, by the way. Go Iowa Awesome is the best.
It's perfect.
Picture of Iowa with the chicken scratch. Go Iowa.
It's the perfect level of serious that a sports blog should take themselves. But when I went on their podcast, they were like, what. What should Iowa fans, if they see this from Purdue, what should they be worried about?
Yeah.
And maybe this was a little, like, I didn't even realize I was doing this, but I said, I would normally say the defense breaking the offensive line, but I'm not even watching for that. That's going to happen. Like, I'm not even that's going to have Nick Holt's defense is going to get pressure. And get tackles for loss and rush the ball. What Iowa should look out for is if Purdue's receivers are catching the ball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And both of those things turned out to be exactly what happened. I mean, Mahungu in
Mahungu was catching the ball.
Like, he wasn't just catching the ball. He was running really good routes and he was running fast.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's
which is different than we've seen.
He's not.
I love that dude, but he's a big possession receiver. He's not a burner, and he burnt two dudes like jock in the backfield type looking, right? Because he did one where he just stuttered to the inside and went to the outside.
That 43-yard like right after the right in the third quarter, right after halftime, that touchdown one. He's like that's the thing is that he's got okay hands, but he's a bad athlete, but he's an exceptional route runner. Like he runs really well, and when his hands work, things like this happen. Iowa has that cornerback, Josh Jackson. Is that his name? Mm-hmm. He's phenomenal. He's probably going to be a first rounder. Mm-hmm. And that's not really a stretch. I do think
he got burnt one of the times, didn't he?
No.
They stopped throwing at Mahungu as soon as they moved Jackson over. Okay. But it took them six targets.
Yeah,
Mahungu before Ferentz finally put his best cornerback on.
And Brom was just like, keep throwing. Like, what are you doing? Just keep throwing to not right. Josh Jackson. Like,
so did they have Jackson on Anthrop before that?
Yeah, and Phillips or whoever the whoever the number one receiver was. Actually, yeah. Mahungu, I'm pretty sure, lined up on the left side that entire time.
Yeah, Phillips had a great catch, by the way. It was kind of inconsequential, but Sindelar made a very dangerous pass that was through about a 9-inch window. I mean, there's a linebacker and a cornerback and a linebacker behind. Like, it was tight, and he put it right in there. It was probably a gain of like 6 or something ridiculous. And yeah. Phillips just grabbed it. I was like, man, because it was one of those Sindelar no touch passes where it's way too fast for any human being to catch. And I'm sure Phillips has like lace burns on his inner left arm. But yeah, I mean, it was.
That's the thing. He just kept attacking the same. I don't know if it was the same cornerback or if it was just anybody who was not covered by Jackson.
It was different quarterbacks or cornerbacks by Mahungu. I know this because it was 5 and 11 were the two that he got. So then it got burnt vertical. Yeah, so
Actually, there was a third in there at the very end.
Yeah, there was.
Basically, it was just
whoever. Sindelar was putting the ball where it belonged. I mean, those were some really nice passes. I mean, that was the type of performance that I think folks like myself who really liked Sindelar but wasn't really seeing it early in the season what you hope he's capable of doing.
Yeah, and I will say, I mean, for those of you out here who haven't read every word that we've written this season, which I damn you if that's the case,
very few of you
but Hank has been on this all the time. Michael has been, I mean, he's been the Sindelar guy the whole time, and I think we saw what you have believed in. I guess that's kind of what
you said. It was more of a belief than a
It was based on some glimmers,
truly
right?
Faith. It was truly blind faith,
which is awesome.
It was because
I'm told that we're horrible fans forever not having blind faith. So I've been told multiple negative things recently because on Twitter, Jay and I are two of the most negative people in the world. I guess I didn't know that. I really didn't. Are we really that bad?
People could read our text message.
Yeah, I know. We're so
positive. We should make them public.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
No, we should not do that.
No, we shouldn't.
No, we shouldn't. No. We would all lose jobs.
Yes.
I think the quarterback performance was exactly the kind of performance that Sindelar can do in Brahm's offense. I don't think that it was objectively great. If you put it, if you put it next to any performance on Saturday,
not Breeze versus Notre Dame, right?
Exactly. It's not Orton. You know, it's not Orton against not Wisconsin. It was good. It was a very good performance.
Right. It's 229 yards. Right. In this era of football, that's really not that many yards.
Exactly. But it was no picks. Mm-hmm, was he threw the ball away instead of into forcing bad decisions. I would say that yeah, that 9-inch window was probably a bad decision, but he didn't make him pay for it.
But he made throws that a Purdue quarterback has not been able to make in a while. Yeah. I'm thinking the across the body touchdown pass.
That was a great play. That was a great play.
I was, my heart was stopped. I was like, what are you doing?
And then that pass to Phillips that he dropped that hit him right in the bread basket. Yeah. But that was the perfect throw. That was a perfect throw.
So that those are the kind of throws. Those incompletions are what has gotten us maybe it like believing Sindelar, because a lot of his incompletions are just hitting off the numbers, you know?
Well, that Ohio game, I think probably made a lot of people believers that he could be an accurate quarterback and that he just wasn't getting any help from receivers.
I mean, that was a conversation we had. Like I've never really been in on Sindelar. I still don't think I am, but he was exactly what Purdue needed him to be on Sunday. And that's the thing is like what, we are going to come away, win, lose, or draw the bucket game. The takeaway from this season is going to be the amount of times the offense did not stay true to the defense. Like it did not capitalize on what the defense was giving them.
They didn't pay the defense back for the great work that the defense was doing.
This defense should be carrying Purdue to a 7 or 8 win season.
Right.
And the offense has let them down.
Well, one of my favorite things, you know, getting back to something you talked about earlier, I apologize for stepping on you there, guys. But I wanted to get this before we get too far away is, you know, when you guested on that that podcast, you terrified the Iowa fans about Nick Holt and the Purdue defense. Because I think a lot of people that haven't watched Purdue very much, they think this is just a fun offense, right? Because people are flipping flea flicker, right? And that's the flicker, I think they ran one on Saturday and it was not successful, right?
Oh, no. And oh, my God. I don't ever want to see Sindelar running a flea flicker again.
No, it didn't work well.
So long. The Blau makes an instant decision. That was his strong suit in the, you know, in the flea flickers. He knew exactly the decision to make. Man, Sindelar got happy feet on that. Yeah. But anyway, the defense.
Yeah, the defense. I mean, that's the thing. The defense is seldom a sexy story for people that are casual fans, right? And this defense, though, this is why I'm so excited. And if you guys are ready, we could pivot already towards the bucket, or we can talk a little bit more about Iowa. But my feel good, my warm and fuzzy inside right now, my, you know, just had a hot toddy on a cool day outside feeling comes from this senior class. These defensive players getting announced, coming out and, you know, to a Ross-Ade Stadium. And you know what? No one comes into Ross-Ade.
No one comes into Ross-Ade. Nobody comes into Ross-Ade. No, we all know this.
Yeah. And so especially on senior day, nobody comes into Ross-Ade.
Nobody has ever come into Ross-Ade.
Nobody. And but this senior class getting the chance to earn the bowl, you know, there are some guys that were there for the bowl, obviously, because they would have been redshirt freshmen, right? And I think my math is correct. So you can't say no one's been traveled to a bowl, but these guys haven't played in a bowl. So this is a pretty big opportunity for these guys to do something special, to do something memorable. It's exactly what I talked about. It gives them an opportunity to really kind of, you know, it's like you said with, you know, it's a weird comparison, but the fact that Hammonds doesn't have a banner in Mackey Arena is similar, that if this defense doesn't earn themselves into a bowl game, that's kind of a shame. We don't get to remember this defense easily. Definitely. That Iowa game, the way the defense played, that's a big deal. That's one step. The next step is shutting down IU's very good offense and earning the way.
And IU's defense. So here's the thing. We're talking about defenses, and Purdue is going to end up. So Football Outsiders is a wonderful analytics site. And the way that they do their S&P plus rankings is literally by doubt, like going possession by possession, like ranking the strength of the opponent, the situations. So a third and short, a stop on third and short is ranked differently than a stop on first and long. You know what I mean? Like it's really sophisticated. Purdue's defense is ranked number 27 in the country. IU's is 26th.
Hmm. How about that? The parallels are crazy.
We've been talking about this all season, is that they're very similar teams.
Yeah.
And to your point about having this team being remembered for something, it's a lot different than 97, right? We came to the conclusion pretty early on in the season that this was, you know, as much as we really wanted it to be, we wanted to force that storyline. It's not 97. Like, it's not Joe Tiller's first year. Right. But what was different about 97 was that there was something to remember that Purdue team by. It was those, you know, the excitement in the offense that led Purdue to a bowl game. That's right. Really all that mattered. The mm-hmm. what bowl was really not. It could have been a 7-8-9 win type bowl. It mm-hmm. wouldn't have mattered. A bowl was a bowl with that team.
Yeah.
A 6-win bowl season for this team, and a 5-win is going to be wonderful. We're going to mm-hmm. remember this season for a while. Mm-hmm. But a 5-win bowl season, a 6-win bowl season with the bucket, with this defense, that's something. I mean, that's like, that's what to play for. You know, that's what to cheer for on Saturday.
Well, it's something to think about too. I mean, like, when the bowl drought that Purdue was coming out of when Tiller got there, that was 13 mm-hmm. years, I believe. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a hell of a long time in modern college football to not get a bowl. And so now we're at a 4 or 5 year drought. I think it's 4.
Like so I was actually thinking about this.
2011.
So after the 11 season, right?
So there's no one on.
Okay,
this
no one's on this team. I was wrong. Damn, Nabbitt.
Wait, I thought.
12, no, I thought it was Hope's last year. I don't think that's right.
Hope made a bowl game in his last year, which was 2012. Yeah. But Hope didn't make it. They rattled off the 3 wins without.
Oh, you're right, because that was the Oklahoma State.
That was the Oklahoma State
the
loss.
Thrashing in the heart of Texas.
Yeah, or the heart of Dallas bowl. Dallas,
whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, so
nobody's there.
There's nobody on that.
That's even more motivation for this class. That's the thing. That's even another thing. Cause, if none of them have sniffed the thing that I hear that's great about these bowls, there's number one, you get treated like a king wherever you go. Doesn't matter which crappy bowl you go to Boise and you know, you get a massage from a farmer when you get right off.
I think that's just standard treatment.
Oh really? I didn't know. See, I've never been to Boise.
They're just very nice people.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. See, I, you know, you go to Hawaii, you get a lay, a massage from a farmer would be pretty good too.
Exactly. They might
strong hands.
Strong hand. Yeah.
They might just be tender. They might just be trying to, they might just be cannibals and they're just trying to tenderize.
Getting your ready.
You know, that's
Northern. Yeah. Northern.
Exactly. Yeah, that might be a negative reading of the situation. I'm sorry. Sorry, dude. Sorry. Okay.
But the whole point is you get treated well. I guess what I'm saying. You get treated well. Okay. And the second thing you get that players have been who have told me, they say the bag full of goodies is pretty damn awesome. Yep. I mean, these perks are pretty, pretty good. You know, like some, you know, they give Xboxes, they give watches, they give sweatshirts, iPads, you get shoes, iPads, everything. I mean, it's, you get Bose headphones, you get Beats headphones. My gosh, you know. That's cool stuff. So, you know, and we say it all the time, you know, these guys who bleed for a program, good for them for getting a perk. I think it's fantastic. And I hope these guys get the chance to do it. Cause you know,
I mean, coaches get bonus. I mean, like we can have this discussion, but coaches get hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of bonuses.
Right. Right.
The kids can get a bag full of.
Awesome. Yeah, exactly.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Like, yes, I do. And this is something like, I mean, I think we disagree actually. You two, one, you believe that every player should walk in and get a signing bonus of $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think they should take all the money out of their pocket.
Go into debt. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. I think that's the right thing to do to them.
Exactly.
So we're throwing extremes out there. Okay. Goodness. People don't like nuance. You know, we talk about this all the time on the interwebs and we can touch on an idea real quickly. See if you guys have any thoughts on this, because Jay put a tweet out there. Okay. And I think it's an important one where he talked about the 2 games that Purdue dropped that they shouldn't have dropped. Right. And we can say shouldn't have dropped. They should not have lost the Rutgers and the Nebraska games.
By the way, Rutgers who got pantsed by IU this past week.
Exactly. Yes. Purdue fans who are angry at Jay for putting that tweet out there. That is the same team that IU beat the living shit out of, right?
Like, you know, it's scary. That was, they were on earlier in the game. I actually remember, I think Michael, you were texting the group chat and you were like, this is a team to be scared of. IU team.
Yeah. IU, they were clicking last Saturday. Yeah. But he puts that tweet out there and then he said, sorry. Cause I think his whole thing was like, I'm sorry to rain
sorry
on
to bring
a,
the, yeah,
yeah exactly. bring a pall over the, you know, the fun and truth be told, Jay was high and flying pretty high. We all saw that everybody was really happy after the Iowa game, but I think because you two went to the Rutgers game, that's probably part of the reason that one comes out.
Well, right? that, and that one,
And I was at the Nebraska game. And
you know, and those two, I can't even say Purdue should have had one of them. Like Purdue shouldn't have gone 0-2 in those two. And the and maybe the one that they won was the Minnesota one. Like the Minnesota game might have been the game that they weren't supposed to win that they ended up winning. So I guess maybe everything kind of evens out. But I do think that Purdue, sitting right now, Purdue should be a 6-1 team. Like it, they should, there was that Nebraska game. That's the one that just eats at me.
Yeah, yeah, and so yes, and I agree.
And it's
very fair. well put.
And I think that's totally fair. That's a totally fair reaction to this, to going in, and really for the entire like for second, basically the entire second half, just controlling Iowa at Iowa. I mean, it was like going into Missouri, who turns out to be a bowl team,
right?
And just thrashing them
out of the mighty SEC, by the way.
Out of the mighty SEC. I don't think any. I think it's the first loss the SEC as a conference has ever taken. Is that right?
I think that's true. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Boiled Sports Analytics desk will check that, but I'm pretty sure that's true.
We'll get on that.
Yeah. So the nuance of this whole thing, right, is that because Jay mentioned two things and laments the fact that Purdue should have won those, that he hates everything and everything is horrible and Jeff Brohm is an awful person and he shouldn't be coaching at Purdue. That's pretty much what I got from people, right? And so we always talk about this. The internet is not a place for nuance.
No.
It, you know, I even
with this
Twitter is the worst medium. Yeah,
it is. This. It's ridiculous. And so he's still getting a little bit of tweaking and poking from people right now because of that tweet that I thought was just a very good, honest take. So I will clarify one more time. Yes, we lament. We are sad. We are frustrated that Purdue lost to Rutgers. We are sad that Anish had to travel for hours to come watch Purdue lose to Rutgers. And we are sad
to watch a Rutgers football game, by the way.
Yeah, that's sad by itself. Exactly. I think that you guys said it was the worst brand of football you've ever seen.
Oh, God, it was such a bad game. It was
regardless
so
of who wins or loses, everyone loses.
It was, oh, my God, yeah. Actually, and everybody lost because the Rutgers fans thought that it was a really well-played game. And they were, oh, at least it was a good game. No, it wasn't.
No.
Oh, you poor souls.
Yeah. So, but you can say that. You can say that, and then you can say right after, what a great win. What a great coaching job. What Jeff Brohm did today is nearly miraculous. And I really believe that. I was talking to a couple of Purdue fans this morning, and everyone says, this guy's good. This guy's really good because those injuries are legit. They were leaning so heavily on Worship, right, coming into this game. Worship out, and it showed, right? Look at the rushing yardage was bad because Worship was the most effective. Why was Worship the most effective? Because he's the hardest runner between the tackles because you're taking on so much contact so early because this offensive line struggles so badly to block on the run, right? So, I mean, man, it was a great coaching job by Jeff Brohm, and he dropped the ball in –
It's very fair to say that. Same thing. This was a brilliant job by Nick Holt. It's been a brilliant, a brilliant season.
Yeah, he's been
Nick
fantastic.
Holt, yeah. Who's one of the, I think should be in the conversation for one of the better coordinating jobs anywhere this season.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's also fair to say what happened in the fourth quarter of the Nebraska game, Nick Holt.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's totally, I mean, like, that's the thing is that these aren't infallible people. Like, they're not, you know, they're not flawless.
Well, and I think that's is concerning too, especially because this wasn't a couple bad plays. Purdue has shown week in and week out, like, when they try to protect a lead and they go to this cover two shell and they give up just gobs and gobs of points and then they can't stop team when they get close to the goal line. This has happened. This is not just Nebraska. Yeah,
it's happened multiple games. Yep.
That last drive. I mean, like, so Iowa's last drive, if they probably, I mean, if there were 4 minutes, four extra minutes on the clock, none of us would have felt very good. I mean, Iowa marched down the field during that last drive, the 2-point conversion
before making the best call ever for going for two.
I don't quite understand it.
So it's awesome.
Here's what was funny. Okay. It was 24-15. And thank you, Dad. And later that night, So they chose to go for the 2-point conversion and it failed. Later that night, literally like right after that game, the wife's school that she teaches at was in the Western Pennsylvania finals, state finals. It played at Heinz Field. So we actually watched the game at a bar outside of Heinz Field, and then we walked into Heinz. It was very cool. It's a very cool night. And it was the exact same situation, except the team we were rooting for was flipped. The team that ended up winning the title was up 24, and our team had 15, just scored a touchdown, and they chose to just kick the extra point because that keeps you alive. It was the exact same scenario, and it was so bizarre. Like, it was maybe 2 minutes left in the game.
Is my limited football knowledge and my limited math knowledge, really. That's this isn't even football, right? I said to my wife, I said, oh, they're going to take one, and they're going to try to get the ball back, and then they're going to try to come down and score, and then they have to go for two at that point. And then they brought out the offense, and she said, "What?" I said, I swear I'm not this dumb. I said, this is really basic.
So the choice there is, you know, you have to get the 2-point convert. The logic there is you have to get the 2-point
eventually
anyway. Right. So why not? If the offense is feeling momentum themselves, you might as well. The other side of the coin is momentum doesn't exist, and the offense is
dead,
as good, and the defense is going to be as good as they were the entire game. And this is just situational, and really what you're trying to do is keep if you're trailing by double digits, you keeping your game alive for as long as possible. To me, it's like that's one of the few times where yes, you do take the point and just go try to get the onside kick, which actually did stop my heart a little bit, that onside kick.
Well, anyway. You know, whenever the ball they struck it pretty well, right? And when it gets that pop,
But they were offsides anyway.
Mm-hmm. So it didn't. Yeah, that's I never like to,
but that
I never like to rely on officials to make the right call.
But going back to the original point was that the one thing that is a little concerning is that when Purdue is protecting a lead, I don't think that this coaching staff is exactly on the same page as what their options are with
they do something that bothers me a lot whenever I see it at any level, which is they play a certain style, and then when they go to protect the lead, they completely change that style. And I don't think Purdue has the talent to play conservatively and still put.
You've got to have athletes, right? You got to have man-to-man athletes at that point, really.
And you got to have a defensive line where you can have a tackle, take on two guys and still get pressure up towards the quarterback, right? Like Purdue doesn't really have that, right? They get pressure through misdirection and linebackers and all that.
I think if anybody can go straight up, like if there's any place on the field that Purdue can match up, even against double teams and have some luck, it's that front because they're so strong and big.
You know? The linebacking core is breaking through the offensive line.
But that's what Michael's talking about, right? The delays and the stunts. That's what those guys do. They hide it, right?
Yeah, when they go they drop those linebackers back, right? Now you've got you basically have one guy on the defensive line who can put some pressure forward, and Wilson gives you a little, you know what I mean?
You don't have anybody on the offensive or on the defensive line that can make them pay. When they're just rushing, honestly, you always have to be rushing Bentley, or you have to be the linebackers have to be crashing, or that's when Purdue's defense is at their best.
That's the thing though. That's why this defense has been so good, because those guys up front are really good at stopping the run. They take away what, fundamentally sound coaches want to take, which is the run, right? And then coaches, we've seen it over and over, smart coaches that have been around a long time, that coach good teams, they just keep trying to do it, keep trying to run up the gut against Purdue. You can't do it. That's one thing this defensive line doesn't allow, right? So then when they're in a position where you're relying on Purdue's DBs and you're relying on nickel and you're relying on, Purdue's linebackers to now be pass coverage,
right.
Oh man. It's a completely different thing. But the other thing that's happening at the end of these games is now defenses are a little bit tired, and as teams are marching on them, you need to have a guy that's coming in behind that guy who's tired, and there's nobody there.
There's no doubt.
That was Nebraska.
Yes, that was exactly. Exactly.
Nebraska. Yep.
That team was played their hearts out for three quarters and then just didn't have anything left. Yeah. And exactly like Dad was saying, this is a recruiting.
But this is a recruiting problem. You're right. I mean, like, that's the recruiting shortfall, is that you don't have enough bodies.
Right. Or the bodies you have aren't really good enough. That was the problem. Like, Purdue spent the last 3 years beating out Nevada for recruits, right? Ooh. Like, these are guys that aren't going to come in and make a difference. So, you know, there can't be that huge of a drop off between your ones and twos and your threes and fours, and they're just
everything that could be wrong is wrong with the program. And I mean, like, what was inherited, like you said, recruiting, personnel, and then development. Those two things were gosh, that's tough. That's really tough. And
and you see that with quarterbacks in Blau, right? Like, because I like Blau,
man. Like, could you that's exactly. Could you imagine if Brom would have had Blau for 4 years?
Oh, he would. He would be really good. Yeah. But you know, he came into this season making the same mistakes that he made the past couple of years, and then you see over from a week to week basis him getting better. Like, you almost feel like he developed more in weeks 1 through 10 than he did in 3 years under.
Oh my gosh, I 100%.
Yeah, because he was pretty good talent to begin with, and he got a little bit better between the ears, right?
So. But and that's the problem, is that actually if you look at the talent under center in Austin Appleby and Danny Etling, Purdue didn't recruit schlubs,
right?
You know,
right.
Purdue recruited these Elite 11 Purdue style quarterbacks, or you know, Purdue level quarter, the type of quarterback you need to be seeing at Purdue. It was just there was nobody there. There was nobody in their ear. There was nobody getting them to grow. That's exactly right, Michael. Like they were the same player for years. And also, somehow Danny Etling is still playing. And maybe it was just so long in my head. But like, I feel like Danny Etling is on his 14th year in college. I think he's on the Robbie Hummel path.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the Aaron Kraft of
football. That's right. That's right. The Nate Mason, the soon to be Nate Mason path for this year. Yeah.
Well, if you guys are up for it, we can start looking at the IU and answer IU game and answering some questions that I think will spark some conversation. The first one is a very good one, very good question. Getting rid of Hazel, right decision?
I think it's too early to tell.
It's too early to tell.
That's from Tippett 523. Great. Yeah, it is too early. I gotta say, jury's still out.
it's very early. You can't
We'll look at some tape. The analytics desk will look at some
Thank
tape.
You. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. We can get back at Tim on Twitter.
Yeah.
So another good question. We got a couple dandies in here. Jeremy Nelson says, would it be disrespectful, if Purdue wins, to wear the bucket as a hat?
I am pro what's done with the Stanley Cup. Which is like,
let people keep it and sleep with it and take it with them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But, exactly. There have to be limits here. So Brent Berry, if you remember when Brent Berry won the slam dunk, title, like unexpectedly when he was still wearing his warm up jacket, if you remember that,
because he dunked from the free throw line.
He was a white dude that dunked.
Yeah,
he was a white dude that dunked from the free throw line with his warm ups on. Basically, that's why he won.
Yeah, exactly.
Cut the bat. So it's like basically just a basketball on a pedestal. He cut the basketball in half and uses it as a snack dip. Like, literally, it's got like guacamole in it, or like candy during Halloween. Like, he Instagrams these pictures of his 1980 whatever slam dunk thing. So yes, I am all
90 something, wasn't he?
It was 90 something. You're right. Yeah, it was 90 something.
Yeah. Well, you guys, how many bucket games have you been to? Couple, handful.
Six. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, okay. About six.
But you guys know, I mean, well, I would say that the bucket.
How many do I remember, though? Different question.
That is a completely different question.
That is.
Freshman year, I was introduced to Fireball in gaming for the IU game. God. Oh my God.
Yeah, pregame freshman year. Yeah, everybody's, I think, I don't know how many bucket games were remembered, first bucket games.
I do remember the Ball State was better chant, though, which is my favorite chant of all time.
It's so disrespectful to everybody involved. It's just, and actually, here's the worst chant that I was actively a part of in Ross Aid was when we were playing Ball State and we chanted Ball State High School. That's uncalled for.
Oh yeah, that was a good one too. I was I participated in that one.
That's completely unnecessary. It's very inappropriate. It's not good. Ball State's a wonderful school.
Right, right.
There's no need for that.
Yeah, I almost went there for architecture. Great, great. Nursing, architecture, teaching, journalism. All great. All fantastic.
Great. It's wonderful. Ball State
High School. Muncie is truly the gem of Eastern.
The gem of Indiana. Exactly.
It's the gem of Muncie. That's the, yeah, sure.
So the reason I asked that question is I think this is a good one, right? The atmosphere at a bucket game is pretty good. And when Ross State, I can remember one game where I believe neither team was going to go to a bowl. I was probably a freshman. Ross State was close to full. And it was fun. It was kind of, there was a little hostility. You know, there were some fights breaking out, you know, it was kind of fun, right? I mean, it wasn't like, you know, like a Raiders game or anything, but it was, you know, there's definitely a home field advantage. Okay. So, this question from Adam Hartman references the Mitch Daniels says, saying he was an advocate of playing the bucket game in Lucas Oil in the future. What do you guys think about this? There you go. And do you think it hurts season ticket sales is the second part of the question.
I think I don't care about season ticket sales. I don't care about gate revenue. I don't care about the dollar part of this. The bucket game should be played in what at a home field. Like the bucket game should be played
rivalry on campus. Games.
Rivalry games should be played on campuses. Why would you? Why? What? So what are they going to do? Move Ohio State, Michigan to Cleveland?
Right.
Like, right. That's ridiculous. Well, like, moving to the Brown Stadium? That's ridiculous. Sure, but, like, no, absolutely not. This is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous
question. Unless we're talking,
I think, like, it's going to happen, though, guys. I think it's...
It's a money grab.
Unless this is, like, a Texas-Oklahoma situation where people are getting stabbed and you have to move to protect people's lives.
Right. For those... Xavier-Cincinnati for those couple of years. Or just got out of hand. Midwest. That just got out of hand. They had to move it. Just take a break.
No, but I think it's terrible. I think it was terrible when they were talking about moving the Kentucky IU basketball game to a neutral site, or Duke North Carolina, like all that stuff. That's the atmosphere is a solid contributor to the fun of those games.
Yeah, could you imagine if they played Duke North Carolina in Charlotte?
Right.
Like what? Why?
Well, they do that during the ACC tournament, and it's not the same, right?
No, it's not the same. I mean, like, IU and in basketball, IU and Kentucky played in Indianapolis a couple times. And it's just like, have it in Assembly Hall. Mm-hmm. Like, right. You know, have it at Rupp. Like, it's not that hard.
Right.
College atmospheres are why.
That's why college sports are great.
Yeah, exactly. It's why. I mean, like, it's so compelling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably going to happen, though. It's probably going to happen.
It's awful.
So let's fast forward a little bit. Purdue has just won. They've clinched a fantastic bowl. Maybe it's a Pinstripe Bowl. Maybe it's something in Detroit.
Little Caesars, fingers crossed.
Exactly. Yeah.
A Little Caesars Pizza Bowl.
So a good buddy of ours, Mark Goshorn. We've been following him on Twitter and going back and forth for a long time. Good dude. Never met him in person, but a good virtual guy. He says, I think it's a great, good question. Is it appropriate to storm the field after Purdue wins the bucket game? Asking for a friend.
So if I was a drunk 19-year-old, you bet.
Yeah, absolutely. So it all depends on the individual situation, right?
So I
give me some fireball and I'm out there.
Every year during college basketball season, this comes up, right? Which is the safety of students rushing the field and the sanctity of the basketball field, and how dare they say Seth Davis? How dare they have fun? Mm. I think there should be a year where a number one seed in either football or basketball, their fans rush the field every time they win. Every single game, every time they win, I think they should rush the field every game. It's great. It's awesome.
Alabama does this next year.
Alabama should rush the field every win, every single time.
And you know what would happen? You know, everyone would start rushing the field all the time for every game.
Everybody should.
Because there's nothing like college sports likes more than copycats.
That's right. It's going to be a copycat. Yeah, it's definitely a copycat league we got going on here, and yes, everybody's going to do it, and I'm fine with Purdue blazing the trail for this one, let's say.
Well, do you guys, I know we've got to just to look ahead, although it's a holiday week and everybody's got a lot going on, we've got tons of content coming down the pike here.
Yeah, content,
and it's exciting. I don't want to show our hands too much. But I know, I don't know if it's Anish and Michael, they're going to have have you told the public who you're going to have on?
We're going to try to have a celebrity, celebrity on the,
A celebrity will be on a podcast this week. We believe it will happen. So we're not going to tell you anymore.
Celebrity is defined as, a guy that people know.
Yes. Yes. I think that's enough.
Like a guy who is a human being. He's got a
human being that other human beings know.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So that's good. So that this person will have a connection to the rivalry, in some way.
To the unspoken rival.
Yes. Yes. So we've got that coming. So, but the other thing we will of course have, thoughts as we get down towards the game at the end of the week after we've gorged ourselves. But are you guys willing to give a little preview of what you think? Or are you not? Is that off the table right now?
I'm not. Oh man, I don't know. I kind of feel that this could be kind of a crushing one. I'm not sure if it's. Mm. Oof. I know. I feel bad saying that. But I do think that it might be just out of gas. Like it might get to the point where. I don't know.
You think that there's the letdown is possible? Is what you're
saying. I think the letdown is not just
more possible. Than possible. You think it's likely?
I think it's more than possible. Yeah. I think IU is a lot. IU's a tough matchup for this Purdue team, and injuries have hit them, but not quite as hard as they've hit Purdue, and they have a little bit better depth. Than Purdue does, so that they can handle it a little better.
I'm going to counterpunch you a little bit without showing my entire hand here. But I will say that IU on the defensive side of the ball, I believe the injuries are hurting them a little worse than they are Purdue at this point.
Sure, fair.
And I will also say Purdue has done a pretty good job against pretty damn good defenses this year. And I think, and I'll go a step further, defenses that are better than.
I mean, like, Michigan's, right?
Right.
I mean, like,
right. Here's what I like to see is I'd like to see one of your favorites, Markell Jones, have a big game because I think
so we said that the running game was pretty lousy this last game. Markell was kind of the exception, my guy. I think he was 15 rushes for 70 yards or something like that, 75 yards.
Yeah.
He looked good. I mean, like he was 5 yards a carry.
He had a very good run after the game was done, right?
Yeah. I mean, and so that 30 yard run, so that may have bolstered a little bit of his numbers. But he had a couple, he clinched a couple second and long, third and long situations. Like he had a good game. I think Jones, he's going to have a really good game against Indiana.
Mahogany. And I also think though, I mean, let's not discount the seniors that are part of this offense are important, right? So when I say, I think of Knox and Mahungu specifically right away. I'm expecting. Yeah. Knox is my guy because we're pretty much exactly the same height. So
yeah, exactly.
we're brothers in this fight.
You're both very, very rhombus.
Compact. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I like a lot. I like a lot about this game. I'm hoping Sindelar gets to ice the knee. And how about this question? This is the wild speculation portion of the program as we start winding down.
It's very good. We entered the wild west and immediately we lost a member of the,
right. Exactly.
Michael's gone.
Northwest.
He's gone. Sad. Yeah. Sad from the internet back. No longer exists.
In Oregon. They turn it off at around 7 PM.
Yeah, that's right.
in the Pacific time zone. So, do you think, because I'm trying to read between the lines, and I don't know if there – I don't think anything has been – maybe I've missed it. Do you think that Sindelar has a partially torn ACL right now?
I don't know if it's an I don't know. He didn't look stable. I don't think it's ACL, but I think it might be an ankle. As we enter – this is the chaos zone, so Michael's back on here.
Michael's back.
But I don't know – I don't think it's a partially torn ACL like my guy back in the day,
Robert Marv. That's what there are people on the interwebs that are guessing that's what's happening, because they, you know, Brom made a couple comments about his toughness, and we don't really understand what he overcame to play in this game. And I think people right away start saying, what? Yeah. But I would say that I didn't see a girder brace on
one of those. Yeah.
I saw a sleeve. Like, yeah. And if you have a torn ACL, remember Marv wore a girder brace after he had
Marv, dude, I love Robert Marv so much. Oh my God. He ran down. So I think it was either a pick or a fumble.
Yes.
And he ran down.
It was a pick.
Yeah, it was a pick. And he ran up like 60 yards downfield for the tackle on a torn ACL. I love Robert Marv so much. Yeah. I love him so much.
Right. Yeah, that was fun. That's a bad dude.
But if Sindelar's playing on a partially torn, that's not great for next year.
That's I thought my thought after I read people guessing what they thought his injury was, I thought, wow, that puts Purdue in an interesting situation, because if Sindelar leads him to a bowl, right, and then his knee is torn, you have to put him on the shelf so he can get the surgery and start healing right away.
Yeah.
So then we go to a bowl with a quarterback who's never started, never thrown a forward pass. I don't think it's going to matter.
If Sparks is healthy too.
That's right. Yeah, his ankle. But he came back in. He came back in versus Iowa.
That was the nightmare was that.
That was the one I was pooping my pants. I was like, oh no, they're going to have to burn a red shirt.
Second to last game,
they're going to lose the game. So.
Don't you? Yeah, exactly. Position. Let's say Purdue makes it to a bowl, and Sindelar can't play, and Sparks gets hurt. Like, you literally play anyone else, right?
Anybody, but you do like not.
Jackson Anthro. Just put Jackson Anthro back there.
But Markell Jones back there.
Yeah, whatever, he's skilled enough. Matter.
Now, okay, so what happens if that same scenario, but it's the IU game? It's third quarter of the IU game. Sindelar's out, Sparks is out.
I don't think you can burn somebody's redshirt.
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can do it. Just the ramifications, the long-term ramifications aren't enough.
There's got
to
be.
How good do we think Nick Sipe is? Nick Sipe, that's his name. The kid whose red shirt is going to be. How good is he? Because
I think I don't want to say too much, but I think he's going to be a combination of Kirk Cousins and
Drew. Oh, sure.
Yeah, just.
Oh, sure. Kirk Cousins and Drew Brees, not bad. Yeah. Okay, quarterback. I don't want to
put too much pressure.
Put expectations on him.
Well, yeah, I don't want to do it.
There's that kid Jack Plummer out of Arizona.
That's what people are saying. That's the guy, right?
Yeah, Brahm seems to love this kid. Actually, I mean, like, he was pretty under recruited and he was recruited pretty hard by Brahm at Western.
Yeah.
And then it carried over to Purdue, and he was like, I'm playing for Jeff Brahm. He's turning down all sorts of Pac-12 offers. He turned down all sorts of Pac-12 offers, and he's coming in January. So if Purdue gets a January 1 or later bowl, maybe he'll be on campus. It's fine. We can just put him in. We're going to play him freshman year anyway.
Perfect idea.
If this is the third quarter versus IU, I think that, and it's a close game. I wouldn't dismiss it, you know.
Ugh.
I wouldn't dismiss.
First of all, you know, I don't think there's any circumstance where you can do it, because he's also coming in as a freshman, right? So he is gonna not really. He's probably not gonna like light the world on fire, right? In his first.
I mean, Sparks hasn't thrown forwards, so there's that. But no, if Sparks,
he can move the ball forward.
If Sparks is healthy, you put in Sparks. Yeah. If Sparks is healthy, you put in Sparks. And actually, what
Sparks can throw. Sparks can throw. I think you go Wildcat the whole game, and you just hope that Juwan Bentley scores.
The scenario I really want to see is Purdue clinched a bowl game. Like, I mean, obviously, but with no quarterbacks. I want Jeff Brom to have a month against a specific team, a specific defense, with the options that he's got in front of him. I want to see what creative stuff is being drawn up. That's the most fun scenario right now.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot to look forward to. There's no doubt. It's amazing how our perspective behind closed doors has changed from beginning of the season prognostication to the mid-season adjustment to the saying, oh boy, our beginning of the season prognostications were correct. And now we're like, wow, our mid-season prognostications are going to be correct again. I mean, this is a fun and weird season. This is what I think all of us thought would happen, and that there'd be some expected and unexpected things. And I think that's what a lot of people on the internet were having a hard time with, because they're like, oh, this is part of the process. You can say it's part of the process, but that Rutgers game, again, like you said, give me one of those. Give me one of those, even in a bad scenario, right?
The other thing, so this year Purdue has unexpected losses, which if you were to look at the schedule before the season, you would say Rutgers and probably Nebraska should have been win. This Nebraska team should have been win. Absolutely. Rutgers absolutely should have been a win, and one of Minnesota and Nebraska. Let's be fair. I think that's what we were saying. So really it's that Rutgers game. But also nobody, we were talking about the Mizzou game because Mizzou was looking really bad. We were saying, yeah, Purdue could have a shot at it. At Kinnick, we're like, no, there's no way.
Yeah.
I mean, like for a solid year, since Jeff Brohm was our number one coaching candidate last year, we've been looking at the schedule and we've been talking about this behind closed doors. And it's like that we would have never seen those wins coming. So it's like the unexpectedness happens on both sides of the point, right? It's fun. It's been really fun.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Five wins, that's the thing. Even say Purdue loses the bucket again, which would suck. It would suck for this team, this group of seniors, to never have had the bucket, right? But it's five wins with two road victories against pretty good teams.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's it. This is a awesome season. We're already there. We're already at the point where this is an awesome season. You know what I mean?
When was the last time it was this fun? Really?
Man, one of the Kerrigan years probably. And even then I don't know if Purdue made probably the last
Kerrigan. They didn't compete in every game in that.
No, those were years where Purdue would be.
All right. I think what he was going to say, I'll tell you what he was going to say. Those were years where Purdue would beat really bad teams.
Yeah.
And then they would get beaten really badly by good teams. Right?
The Danny Hope special. Basically,
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, Ohio State.
Minnesota, even. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Those were rough, you know?
The biggest thing, though, this year is just enjoying it again, enjoying Saturdays again, just not being dreadful to approach Saturdays again.
Feeling like it's something that you want to plan around. That's a big difference, I think, emotionally. And
especially for you, Doubt, being in, in the area, right?
Yeah.
You go to games when,
it's fun. It's good to, I mean, the funny thing is as Purdue was clinching the Iowa game, we were on the fence about confirming that we were going to go. My son and I were confirming we were going to go because, the bucket game has some horrible weather a lot of the time, right? And so we were like, we'll wait and see how the weather's going to be if Purdue was coming in with four wins, right? Well, now with five, we were high five. We're like, we're in, we're going. So
yeah, rain, sleet, there, no matter rain, wins. Sleet, right. Snow. Yeah, yep, that's right.
Exactly. So it'll be fun. But, under my base layer, what I always like to do with those cold games, though.
What do you do? How do you stay warm? How do you layer up? Do you layer up?
I layer up. I'm a big layer guy, and so you want to have something really soft next to your body, like a martinvintage.com t-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So good. It's all good. Yeah, that's the thing. It's good in the warm. If you it's good in Mackey Arena. It's good in Ross Aid underneath a heavy winter coat. It's Martin Vintage t-shirt.
And I see you wearing that, and I love that stuff, but how could I get myself?
I mean, that's the thing. It's not like it's an elite club. It's just these guys are so generous and so kind. You enter Boiled at checkout, you get 20% off your order.
Is that easy? That's a heck of a deal. Yeah. And Christmas coming up?
Christmas is right around the corner now. I think we can say that. Uh-huh. I mean, in fact, you know what? I don't like Black Friday. I don't like going to Walmart anymore. I got a black eye one time by a little old lady. Oof, checking out. I don't ever want to do
some biceps though. I bet she had some. She had some dirty too.
Yeah. And So I'm going to avoid that from now on. I'm just going to go to martinvintage.com to do my Christmas shopping.
It's a great
got all sorts of Purdue shirts, right? All sorts of Purdue shirts, but that doesn't mean I don't want more, because I definitely.
No, and you know, like as you guys were talking about, you know, that engineering shirt, that's the truth right there.
They have that engineering shirt that there's a solid chance that Michael and I are going to buy that for each other and send it to each other's addresses, because it's very cool. It's a very cool shirt.
Yep. So martinvintage.com, check them out. And boiled at checkout. Thanks for their sponsorship this football season. It's been fun. So, and boys, this has been fun. I've enjoyed spending an evening with you. I miss Jay, but Jay is preparing for the long journey to the Caribbean as he supports our Boilers as they head down to Atlantis for that tournament, which this is a good one. There's tons of upside coming and tons of opportunity for Purdue to really climb the polls and make some noise. It kind of reminds me a little bit of there was a Butler team that went to the final game that really made their mark. Yeah, I'm saying that already. it's ridiculous.
Comparisons, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But the whole thing is that if you make some noise, you do some good things here, right? You get to play Villanova, you get to play Tennessee, you get to play Arizona potentially, right? Mm-hmm. I think the Tennessee game is the first one, right?
Yeah, and then they'll probably
and then probably be Villanova, probably, and then it'll be Arizona if things go according to seed.
That is brutal. But that is also brutal. But Purdue could end up if Purdue gets this, like they could be sitting.
That could be pretty big. And listen, I mean, y'all should listen to Dal talk about this too, because if anyone knows anything about climbing the poles.
Oh, that's man. Right. That's like, yeah, that's really near and dear to my heart. Thank you for bringing that up. That's true.
That's right.
I love climbing poles. Yes. And so there is that. I think here, I'm going to say something that I think we are watching the most complete Purdue basketball team that I've ever seen.
Ooh, man, that's a big step.
It is a big step.
I don't know if I'm ready.
That's okay. That's okay. It's kind of like the first time you tell your girlfriend you love them.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I just did.
You got butterflies.
Yeah, I get a little thing at them.
You were not sure if it's a horrible mistake.
Yeah, did I just go way too far? And then she's like, the first time I told my wife I loved her, she said, thanks. So I did it too early then too.
A little too. It's fine. It's fine.
But it worked out. Fine. That's the thing. It worked out.
You're right. It totally.
A couple weeks into the Purdue basketball season, a couple weeks into your relationship.
Same damn thing. Exactly.
Well, thanks, Dad. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I put it out there. You're welcome. Yeah.
Thanks, Mrs. Dowd, for that. That's the true hero of this story.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh man. Yes. I can confirm.
Well, tune in this week to BoiledSports.com. We got lots of good stuff coming from these gentlemen and from everywhere. We're hoping that the internet connection is good down in the Atlantis Resort for Jay. I am positive he's going to have good internet. I've said that off the air. I just think he's going to be in some, you know, presidential suite.
17-star.
Yeah, the VP life.
So, yeah, exactly. He's going to have a – yeah.
He'll be fine.
He's not.
We lost him.
Speaking of bad internet.
Speaking of bad on cue. So, but that's okay.
Man, okay. So a year ago,
yeah,
if you would have told me that the 2017 bucket game would have been bowl or bust for both IU and Purdue, I couldn't. This is exactly how it was meant to be.
Right? Yeah. And maybe you guys can help me with this. I do not remember this scenario ever happening.
Well, I was looking
at it. And I've tried to find the answer to that. Tell me if you found any different.
So the closest would have been 2007.
Right.
Which was the Terry Heppner, like the first year after Heppner died.
Purdue was already at their sixth win, though, right?
I'm pretty sure Purdue was already at their sixth win. Yeah. So it didn't quite mean as much. They had already clinched.
You hit the field goal to win. Is that the same
name? You hit the Austin Starr. Was that his name?
Yes. Yeah. And then that became IU's ad campaign for the next 50 years, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, basically. I was there. I made the trek my freshman year. It was a lot. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. No fun
at all.
But that was probably the closest, like most recent example. Yeah. And probably, I think another one was 2010, where Purdue, I think, was sitting at four wins and spoiled IU's shot at a bowl game. I think that was the other closest that this scenario has been recently.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's been like this. Like, I think this might be the best bowl game in 10 years. Like, yeah, that's the thing.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great.
So yeah, I'll give it all to me.
It'll make it fun. So, but appreciate you guys being here tonight, and thank you out there for tuning in to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour, part of the podcast network here on boiledsports.com.
Rate, subscribe, do all that.
Yeah, do all the whole thing. Yeah. And update
five stars, man.
The whole thing. Yeah. Well, and remember, guys, love you guys. Good night. The first time I told my wife I loved her, she said, thanks. So I did it too early then, too.